And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What is up, listeners? Welcome back to RBLR Bucks. It's 2026, the sun's out, and we're kicking off a new year's of Buccaneers football talk. But let's keep it real with you as well, folks. All right. Things didn't end the way we wanted to. All right. No playoffs, no January run, and that stinks. All right. And that's exactly why today's episode matters, because we are diving into a full recap of, you know, the final game, breaking down the NFC South as a whole and talking Bucks teams, news, updates, and more importantly, asking the big question, where do we go from here? So, folks, you already know the drill. Buckle up, grab your favorite food, grab your favorite drink, settle in. We've got a lot to get into. And trust me, you'll enjoy this show even more if you let us know how you feel. All right, because look, we're just some ordinary dudes. We love Buccaneers football just like you, all right? So just drop your comments, your hot takes, your frustrations, or maybe you still have some optimism. Okay, so yeah, just drop it in the comments. Hit us up on social media. We're everywhere, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. You already know the vibes. And before we go any further, shout out to the rest of the RBLR family holding it down across the bay, from our Lightning, Rays, to the Sun, the Rowdies, and of course, our beloved USF Football's podcast squad. So shout out to the whole crew. I just have to kind of pause and say, I can't believe this day has come. I knew this day was going to come, but it ain't sweet. It really ain't. But every story has to come to an ending. And this story was rather a weird one, but don't worry, we'll get into it. So enough for me. It's time to bring in Tampa's hottest duo. Now, technically, one of these guys isn't even in Tampa right now, but make no mistake, this duo is still very much the talk of the town, always bringing in the heat, always bringing the facts, always bringing that, you know, fiery football energy, ladies and gentlemen. So that being said, to my right, my guy, my co-host, Zach Blaine. What's the good word, my friend?
Not much today, brother. I can't say I got any good words today, if I'm being honest.
I should have just asked you, how are you?
I am fantastic, brother. How are you doing, man?
So far, so good. Yeah, of course, it's so such a crappy feeling. It's so crappy to win your last game only to not be part of the playoff fun because you're counting on another game. That's sad. You know what I'm saying? So just, you know, looking back at it, whether we won or not, it just feels so weird. It's kind of like using training wheels.
And this time, I mean, we've won three
falling off. It's like falling off your bike with training wheels, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we've won three straight, like, though, so we've earned the right to be there. That's essentially what it means, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's just how it is. And perhaps our friend on the left, the final piece to this iconic trio. He is the steady voice, the sharp mind, the glue that keeps it all together. Mr. Carter Brantley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, my man. I'm doing all right. I loved our USF show. That was super high energy, super positive. This is going to be the exact opposite. For those who are tuned into both the Bulls and the Bucks shows, hey, thanks. You know, thanks for tuning in for both. Good gracious, that's a lot of Carter Brantley, Musab Tariq, and now Zach Blaine. But we've got a lot to talk about with this show, because, like you said, they ended the season with a victory. You know, which there's not really much to say for that. But the biggest news is definitely the coaching news, which we'll get to. But I did want to give y'all the opportunity, Zach. I know you're pretty down right now, but were there any closing thoughts or takeaways from the final game, from the victory, or are you kind of, who cares? Like, what were your thoughts after this victory against the Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, I had no faith in the Saints beating the Falcons. So yeah, that was. I fully expected our season was over after we lost to Carolina the first time, or after we lost to Miami. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any positive takeaways from this season. I guess I'm still in the whole just anger stage of grieving with everything from today. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, there. I forget the stages, but anger is definitely
five stages. Yeah, the five stages of depression. I remember I learned this in AP Psych. It's bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Dabda.
Well, I will not accept any of it, so I will just always be in this stage of until next offseason. Fingers crossed.
Oh, so our producer just chimed in: shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, testing, and acceptance. Okay, that's. Isn't that seven or am I miscounting? Yeah, shout out Freud. I don't know, man. This was definitely one of the least exciting games that the Bucks won that I've been to. It was not high vibes, very much like a, well, you know, they won and they have a shot, but like, does that really, you know, is it really a shot or is it just like, you know, is it more just hope for hope's sake? But Mr. Tariq, maybe you're the positive of the three of us. Maybe you're the glasses half full kind of guy. What were your thoughts after this last game of the season?
I mean, I was just hoping just for, you know, not much other than just to walk away and say, hey, you know, at least we, you know, did the best we could. But it was just such an ugly win, too. I mean, it's just the same crap over and over again. You know what I'm saying? It's like. You know, it's like that one guy, you know, at the casino who's been there for the last 8 hours just spinning the slot machine hoping that, you know, it's just going to hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know, the 99th time, it's got to hit now. But that's not the case, you know, and I feel like that's the way every single game. And just even from, you know, from that Miami game, because I know we didn't talk about it last week, just predictable play calling even from the Miami game to this game, the efficiency, the struggles. I mean, even with the heavy volume run game, I just felt like, you know, we were still inefficient. I guess we still had some kind of, you know, positive takeaways. You know, we did, you know, force two turnovers. And for the most part, you know, we had some good, you know, third down defense. Man, but
we're reaching here.
yeah. So it's just, other than that, though, I mean, it's just only so much else. Sure. The offense is just really the depressing part more than anything. I really hate to say it, but in fact, I think everything about this team is depressing, honestly, from the coaches to the defense. I mean, pass rush DBs are getting cooked out there. Offense can't get anything going. Honestly, hot take, but I feel like when our backups were in, I feel like our offense was a little bit more in sync. Honestly, I hate to say it, but it felt that kind of way. It really did. Just because of, I mean, a variety of reasons, but and then, I mean, depth is not there. I don't want to say injuries is, you know, an excuse, but it's just, you know, good teams have depth. We don't have depth. We're not a good team, period.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough to watch. For sure. And I love that you shouted out the heavy run game usage, because that was just confounding. I did not get it. I understand it even leaked into the Panthers game, which it was a messy game. You know, it was real sloppy, like it was raining. There were some weird things going on both sides of the ball. Like the Panthers had a flea flicker that went awry. I mean, it was a strange affair for sure. So I sort of got the end of the first half, like only handing the ball off and then letting Baker throw it once, which set up a field goal. But at the same time, it was like they had a shot to maybe score a touchdown and they just didn't even go for it at all. It was real strange, which again, I kind of understood because of the environment. Like it was just like, it was one of those things where, like, you know, it was raining real hard. Like it was an ugly, ugly affair. But in the Dolphins game too, like they ran the ball so much. And unfortunately, like whether it's Bucky, whether it's the offensive line being banged up, regardless of the reasoning, the run game has been atrocious this year. It's taken a massive step back. It was not good. And unfortunately, that leaked into the pass game too. Like the pass game wasn't any good either, because, you know, it was really, really nasty across the board for both sides of the ball. Like you said, nothing really redeeming about this team. But we've kind of beaten around the bush here, because this isn't the big news. You know, this team has been bad for a while now. It's been 8 weeks, 6-2-6. You know, we know what kind of roster this is. We know what kind of team this is. But Todd Bowles is being retained as head coach. It is official. They announced it. He himself announced it. I don't know. It's weird because, like, definitely isn't an NFL coach in my mind. Like, he doesn't deserve to be coaching this team moving forward. But at the same time, I'm also like, kind of like, I don't know. I have a hard time with it. I kind of go back and forth with it because I just don't see this team being good next season, regardless of who's head coach. Like it could be, you know, John Madden resurrected and like, it wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Like with this roster, but maybe I'm wrong, but regardless, Zach Blaine, I know you have a lot of thoughts on this. So what are your thoughts on it? And what do you think, like, if you're trying to put yourself in the Glazers or Jason Light shoes, what do you think really was the motivating factor for keeping?
I can't give you one outside of they don't want to spend the money to pay his buyout.
Like, there you go. That's a reason.
That's the only reason you keep a coach who is a defensive mastermind, but their defense has continued to slip year after year after year. I don't get it. And I know people go to, well, he's won 3 NFC South championships in a row. Yeah, 2 of those were carried by great offensive coordinators. 1 of those was a great defensive year. So I'm struggling to see, one, I don't know why we gave him a 3-year extension in the first place. I wouldn't have done that. I've been calling for him to get fired for 3 years now. But I don't know. I can't see a situation where you keep him around at all, but here we are, you know?
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus for sure. That's definitely the prevailing opinion on Bucks social media accounts. And like I said, I don't disagree. There's no argument to any of those points. But I would hate for them to have hired the Texans went through this with Lovie Smith that 1 year. The Patriots did this with Jerod Mayo, you know, where they bring in a guy and it's kind of just like a lame duck season. And it's like, well, then what's the point of hiring this guy?
It almost felt like in both those situations, though, the Lovie Smith situation, I think the Texans were just dumb in that situation, if I'm being honest with you.
Right.
But even New England, like, I think for them, the perfect guy became available in Mike Vrabel.
Right.
And in that situation, I kind of understood it a little bit. The Texans one, I didn't understand. My problem is if you go in and get a brand new head coach, not necessarily a brand new head coach, but a new coach, right?
Sure.
Let's say hypothetically we hired John Harbaugh, right? I think you give him a year. That year is not a you do good or you get fired year, in my opinion. It should be a, hey, this is your first year. You're going to figure out, we're going to figure out what you run, and we're going to figure out next season what pieces you need to make your offense or defense or whatever it is work. Unfortunately, Jason Light won't go out and get guys. So I think maybe just sticking with Todd Bowles is the best thing we can do while we have Light in the building.
Yeah. And that I think is probably the biggest, maybe the biggest point where I kind of venture away from the common opinion, I guess. I'm so, you know, I'm out of left field, you know. No, but I think that's where I disagree maybe. Right. I think that might be where I disagree a little bit is that I don't view any of the coaching options right now as guys worthy of that. And then next season, if there's a coach that becomes available that is even better, then it's like you're missing out on that guy because you have to wait and see because you want to give this guy more than a year. And that's, you know, that's a tough opportunity cost when you could have just, you know, stuck with Todd Bowles and had another crappy year. And then, oh, hey, here's the right guy. This is what we want moving forward. But I don't know. John Harbaugh could be that guy. Maybe if Mike McDaniel.
I'm just using him as an example.
Of course. No, for sure.
I wouldn't say hire him right now.
Right.
I think it'd be an upgrade still, personally. Yeah. But I'm not saying he's the guy to do that with. I feel like you've had that guy in the building 2 years in a row. And you let him walk out. I know a lot of people hate on Cohen for the way he left, but
yeah, it is what it is. That's what's tough with Cohen for me is that even if they had kept him around, then who's to say he doesn't leave for, you know, let's say the Dallas Cowboys fire their head coach next year or whatever, or they fire Schottenheimer next year. Who's to say he doesn't go to Dallas? Or who's to say he doesn't replace Sean McVay if Sean McVay randomly retired next season? You know, there's just
– I'm saying if he's a head coach, I'm not saying keep him in-house as an offensive coordinator.
No, even if he's a head coach, like – he seems like that kind of fella. Like he literally had a new job every year. So I don't know. I can't trust it. Like I am scared of the day where Liam Cohen leaves Jacksonville for a better gig because he just seems like that type of guy, you know? So I get he's the best offensive coordinator in the NFL. So you put up with it. But I don't know. It's kind of one of those with Cohen. I don't know with the way he exited, I'm not nearly as comfortable with him coaching a team really.
Well, anywhere. Yeah, looking at it right now, I agree because of everything that happened. Yeah, sure. I wouldn't want him coaching the team either.
Right.
But before he left,
before he was a snake. Yeah, before he was a good candidate.
I don't even know if I consider him a snake. Yeah, it was sketchy, but he was
shady. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
A little shady. Yeah. I'll take it, but you know, I wouldn't be lying if someone didn't offer me a fucking GM sure. job.
Unfortunately, you just can't say no to that. Yeah.
Right. You know? But the thing is, he was always that way. Like, that's always who he was as a person. And this opportunity just gave him a chance to like expose that. That's how it is in my mind. That's how I view it. Like, I know that's
fair. But before all that, like before we knew all that,
sure.
We let Dave Canales walk after a bad defensive season by Todd Bowles, carried by the offense. We let Canales walk, and then we let Cohen walk. Even after we hired him in to be, you know, he was going to be the highest paid offensive coordinator. Like, we did our part to try and keep him,
right.
But we still weren't willing to let Todd Bowles go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Cause I think what is funny for me about Harbaugh is that I feel like Ravens fans feel that same way about McDonald, who went to Seahawks, because Seattle has had an amazing year, and he's a huge part of why that is, because he's probably he's probably the best defensive coordinator in football right now. Like, he's probably the best one of the best defensive minds. So I wonder if Baltimore feels that way too, where they let the wrong, you know, they sided with the wrong person.
And that's a fair thought, because yeah. You're 100% like, if I were in Baltimore's shoes, I would be upset right now, especially right. When that we were going to fire Harbaugh the next year.
Right. Yeah.
terrible, terrible season. It wasn't great, or it wasn't good, but it wasn't the type of fall that Tampa had in the middle of the year.
Yeah. And he dealt with Lamar injuries, but at the same time, like, they're both sitting at home, you know, like they both ended up in the,
and that's your spot on there.
But at the same time, like you said, there's a lot of context that gets missed by just reducing it to that.
Exactly. So I think the problem is that going from we're going to let you walk, but next year we're going to fire, is it's even worse in Tampa, because we're like, hey, we're just going to keep this guy. He's right. Been mid his entire career in Tampa. He's been a loser his entire career as a whole. But we're going to keep him. It's going to turn around this year. This year is going to be different. We promise.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. But Mr. Tariq, I feel like Zach and I have been kind of talking the ball here. Are there any head coaches that you thought of? Because I know Zach and I have been talking about Harbaugh, but are there any guys out there that you look at as potential candidates if they had let go of Bowles?
I thought about that for a second, but then I thought, I mean, well, what are the chances, you know, we're going to do the whole, you know, buyout situation as well. I mean, you know, it's kind of like breaking your lease, you know, when you rent out, you know, some property for a year, you got to break it. It better be like some desperation, or, you know, you got to be, you're having a real, real good damn reason, you know, to be breaking that lease. So unfortunately it just wasn't good enough. And I can understand why, you know, with the whole history, I mean, I'm with Zach that, you know, I think Bowles has been carried, but I've kind of just moved on from it, being that, first of all, yeah, it's the whole contract. And
so you've arrived at the acceptance portion of the.
Yeah, I've already accepted. But the thing is that I am still going through shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and testing with everything else regarding our team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, I know we're really talking about Todd Bowles right now, but you got a lot to say about the rest of, you know. The rest of this organization.
Yes, 100%. Because that's the thing. Like, firing Todd Bowles is the head coach, so he answers to all of it. And like, again, we're not disputing the fact that he does not necessarily deserve to be an NFL head coach. But after you fire him, you also have a crap ton of other work to do. And so, you know, if they just fired Todd Bowles and just sort of like, you know, what's the, like a temporary paint job sort of, and like they didn't do anything permanent to the rest of it, then we're going to be back here like next year, you know, like it's going to be another disappointing season. So like you said, there's a lot of work to do. And I think that probably the biggest thing that Zach, I'll ask you this question. What do they do with Josh Grizzard or Grizzard? I haven't even learned how to pronounce his name, but he's, you know, do they let him go? It seems like the prevailing opinion is that they will. But what are your thoughts on the status of their offensive coordinator?
I think the question shouldn't be will they or won't they. It should be should they. They should. He was trash. He was awful. I would right now, this second, put money on him being back.
Really? Wow.
That,
okay.
That is just how I don't think that this organization is run well. I expect the entire coaching staff minus special teams. I do think they'll let him go. And I say that because it'll be like, hey, look, we're listening. We're firing somebody.
Sure.
And he was god awful. He was far worse than any other coordinator on the team.
100%.
Yeah. So I think he'll be gone, and I think we'll bring in a defensive coordinator to help our defensive-minded head coach
right.
teach defense to players.
Yeah.
But I think he'll be back.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Musab, what about you? Do you disagree? Do you think he'll be back, or what are your thoughts? Because I think he gets the can. I think that he's kind of
100%.
Yeah.
I he should, and I think he does, and. I mean, I hate to say this about another man, but I hope he does. You know what I'm saying? But it's just not there. I mean, the evidence is clear. You know, the thing is that we thought we were just going to get lucky because, you know, things worked out well with Dave Canales. Things worked out well for Liam Cohen.
Right.
They wanted to do an in-house kind of promotion. They thought, you know, the kid just learned everything under Liam Cohen. So, you know, he'll be all right. But unfortunately, you know, this wasn't the risk, maybe the best risk we should have taken. The decision is, you know, you can justify it, but unfortunately, yeah, we got to let him go. I just want someone experienced. We need an experienced play caller. And
let me come back with the follow-up question then, because you both think he's going to get fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would an offensive coordinator want to come to Tampa knowing that Todd Bowles is in the hot seat?
That's a great point.
Offense, while it's got star power, you're going to have to restart with your entire system. Why would an experienced offensive coordinator want to come be an offensive coordinator in Tampa?
That's a great point. I think it's someone that's willing. I mean, there are just only so many coordinator jobs. There's only so many head coaching jobs. And I think that, like you said, there's enough talent here potentially to where an offensive potential offensive coordinator could convince themselves, hey, I could come here and make this work. And then if I make this work and the offense is at least good, the defense can, you know, do whatever the heck they want. Maybe I get promoted to the head coaching gig. Cause I mean, they did this with Dirk Cutter. They did this with Todd Bowles. They love to promote internally. Like I know that's something that you dislike about the Bucks, and I have mixed feelings about it as well, but regardless, that's a trend. You know, that's something that
I'm not even against that. But they've shown a lack of willingness to promote from within as far as keeping Todd Bowles on instead of letting him go to promote from within one of their offensive coordinators that are both doing really well in the NFL right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I don't really know. It's a great question. Cause like, as far as, you know, coordinator positions go, like this might not be at the top of the list. And there's a lot of other head coaching openings where like, you're kind of assuming like, hey, we're going to get more than a year here. But I don't know, at the same time, there's still only so many head coach or offensive coordinator openings. So if you're an offensive coordinator, like, and a job opens up, especially with a solidified offense, like you want to go be the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets right now? Like, no, I'd rather just go work, or the Cardinals. I'd rather go work for the Bucks. You know, at least the Bucks have a quarterback. They've got, you know, they've got players that you could convince yourself.
We got potential. That's the thing. We're there. You know what I'm saying? So
in that situation, like, I get how that sounds good, but if you want an experienced guy, that means they're probably either already on a team or were fired for another reason.
Sure. I mean,
That's
the issue that I'm like, I understand an offensive assistant coming in and being, or a quarterback's coach getting that nod up and going, you know what? It's an offensive coordinator position. I'm going to take it in Tampa.
Yeah,
right.
And I think that's ultimately what they do.
And that's my issue. So then why not just stick with Grizzard? You know, he's not awful, but he's not good.
Yeah.
So then at least he's got a year's experience now, as opposed to bringing in someone new that's never done it. We might go through another season of mistakes.
Sure. And I think the difference with the coordinator position as opposed to the head coach position, you're not having to pay like that massive buyout that you're going to have to do with a head coach. You know what I mean? So I think that's what maybe makes it a little bit different, but I do definitely like 100%. Like why come to the Bucks? Like, that's a great question. You know, like why not go work for the Baltimore Ravens? And then at that point, like you said, why not just stick with Grizzard or, you know, Grizzard, whatever. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a really tough spot to be in, but at the same time, like there's also, like I said, there's the potential for them to hire a guy, because Liam Cohen was not an offensive play caller before he worked for the Bucks at the NFL level. So, you know, maybe you get the next him. You know, that seems more likely than Josh Grizzard taking a step forward and becoming that kind of guy. You know, so I think that might be, I guess, the counter argument. But even that, like, I'm not, that's a real bad counter argument. You know, like, that's a real shaky one.
No, I mean, it makes sense, though. But then that just goes back to, why couldn't we hire Joe Brady and he be the next Dan Campbell?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like, I think it all starts from top down. And I'm hoping that if this season doesn't go well, we do a complete redo and Todd Bowles is gone, Jason Light's gone, everybody.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. But regardless, we'll keep talking about them. But if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, if you're thinking, man, I've got a Todd Bowles type of wardrobe going on, you're looking in the closet, then definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code because it's been a rough week for Bucks fans. That's Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the pod. So definitely head over there and check it out and try to lift some spirits because we're past the holidays and, you know, been a rough week. But anyways, shifting our focus to more of the NFL because, man, the Bucks stuff, it's kind of sad. It's kind of depressing. We could talk about it for a long time, but we've got a whole offseason to talk about how, you know, screwed up things are. But there were some other coaches that got fired, including John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh. I always get them mixed up, but one of the Harbaugh fellas. Yeah. So were there any coaches other than maybe Harbaugh that got fired that kind of surprised you, Musab? Like, did it make you raise your eyebrow a little bit?
No, I'll probably say Harbaugh. That's probably really the only one. Yeah. But then, you know, talking to some of my Ravens friends and all that, I understand what happened there. But no, the other ones kind of made sense to me.
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
It felt bad for Raheem Morris to win a game and then get fired like that, but I understand.
That game, he went on a run, brother.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I was actually just going to say a little hot take with that, just, you know, plugging in since we're talking coaches and all that. I did want to say, hopefully, or maybe, I don't know what y'all thought about the, you know, Atlanta's kind of, you know, defense model with Raheem Morris and, you know, Jeff Ulbrich. It's kind of like a, you know, like a two mind kind of setup. I don't know if that's something, you know, on the table for the Buccaneers is, you know, having Bowles, you know, just bring on another, you know, DC and, you know, kind of two heads instead of one.
You have to bring in two DCs to have two good defensive coaches.
What'd you say?
I said he'd have to bring in two good defensive coordinators to have two good defensive-minded coaches.
Oh, man.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
but I do feel you. I was honestly a bit – I think Raheem Morris was probably the second most surprising firing for me other than Harbaugh, just because, like Zach said, he went on a run. And I would – I mean, if he gets another head coaching job, obviously good for him. Like, that's what he'll do. But I would be interested if maybe the Bucks kind of pivot towards him. I don't know. Like, he'd be an interest – because the Falcons' defense showed progress. Like, they started off
– massive.
They were not investing in that defense at all. In terms of draft capital, like they had spent like consecutive years on offensive skill position players. And so their defense was taking a massive hit. But this past season, obviously they spent the two first round picks on the pass rush and it seemed to pay off. Like he seemed to do a good job with it. So I'd be curious to see maybe if he's a name that gets floated around as a potential defensive coordinator hire for the Bucks now that he's probably looking for a new gig. So yeah, I don't know, but, Zach, were there any other firings that kind of made you, a little bit surprised?
I mean, obviously Raheem Morris. I was honestly more shocked at Raheem Morris than I was at John Harbaugh.
Really? Wow. Okay.
John Harbaugh's the Raven. Harbaugh, whatever one he is. Right. I was more surprised at him or at Raheem Morris because of the improvement that we saw from the Falcons. They listened, they drafted what he needed, and it worked. I would have expected him to be back. And then, honestly – maybe Jonathan Gannon.
Ooh, okay.
Did he deserve to be fired? Yeah, but I guess I'm just kind of used to the Falcon or the Cardinals kind of being the same as the Bucks in terms of, well, run it back. You know, like that's how I view them. So, but I think the biggest one for me was Raheem Morris.
Yeah. No, I don't know. The Cardinals are just in such a awful position with Murray's contract and who knows what they do moving forward. But yeah, I can't say I was super duper surprised, but at the same time, like firing it, it's kind of, like you said, it's kind of similar to the Bucks. Firing him is not going to solve anything. Like, the Cardinals aren't going to get any better next year, regardless of who they hire.
You've still got Kyler Murray's contract.
Right. Yeah. They're still not going to have a real, like, who knows what they do at the quarterback position. And maybe they spend that first round pick. That's like, I think it's third overall. Maybe they'll spend that on a quarterback, but then you're spending your first round pick on a quarterback. So then your team is not going to be that great. Like, this was a bad team last year. That's just going to continue to probably be bad. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do there. I'm kind of, like I said, the Bucks have it bad, but the Cardinals, whoo man, it could be worse, I guess. So yeah, that was kind of interesting. But there were also some coaches that were kept that kind of made me raise an eyebrow. I don't know about y'all, but Musab, I'll start with you, man. Were there any coaches that were retained that you were like, man, like I thought he was going to get fired for sure. I don't know if that thought ever crossed your mind looking at these at the coaching news.
Yeah, I know there was some talk. I haven't seen what the update was with McDaniel,
right.
I mean, that's probably the only one is just, you know, the kind of hot seat kind of guy that I'm, you know, like, okay, well, let's see what goes on with him. But other than that, though, no, not really, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I think McDaniel was a surprising one, and McDaniel's one of those ones that I wouldn't be surprised if maybe changes with Harbaugh, because like there's been the rumors and the talk.
Dolphins are, you know, in touch, you know,
right, right, whatever the Harbaugh, heck that means.
I saw some article. Yeah, despite having Mike McDaniel, Dolphins are in touch. So,
oh God, yeah, and what an awkward situation if he doesn't end up, like, you know, like if McDaniel has to stick around, then like, you know, like, oh, so y'all were, you know, trying to actively replace me and then you couldn't. And, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, that's a weird one, too. I was kind of surprised the Bengals kept Zach Taylor. But at the same time, like the Bengals are kind of like the Bucks. They didn't want to pay the buyout. I'm sure the Bengals are probably the cheapest team, maybe in all of sports, when you take into the context of like the NFL making as much money as it does. But yeah, so the Zach Taylor one was kind of interesting. Mike McDaniel, obviously. I'm trying to think of there was another one that was surprising. I don't know. I can't think of it. But yeah, the McDaniel one, definitely the most surprising for me, for sure. So we'll see, because that could change, like we said, with the Harbaugh news. Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Cliff Kingsbury got left or got moved on, so to speak.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, the mutual party.
Not only that he got released, but why are you keeping Dan Quinn if you're firing literally every other coach on your roster?
Yeah, no, 100%.
I think Dan Quinn's a good coach. And I think Cliff Kingsbury and who was their D coordinator? Why am I blanking on their name? Irrelevant. I think they were both decent. They had a lot of injuries. So right. If we're going to use injuries as an excuse,
sure,
why you shouldn't fire a head coach, why is it not the same for the coordinators? Like, I think that the way they're doing things is weird, firing everyone but the head coach and having him hire offensive and defensive coordinators. But from what I understand, I guess Washington's always been one of those teams that their owners and stuff are more involved than an owner should be as far as personnel decisions, if that makes sense. So not I guess sure. I'm not shocked at it. If Dan Quinn's just a yes man, then
right,
maybe that's why he's staying on board.
Yeah, man, the Washington, I mean, for years, like when Dan Snyder, I mean, he had to get outed and like he was a weird dude. And it seems like the new owners are kind of in that same vein. I don't know what's up with owning a football team in Washington, but a team seems to bring out some strange folks for sure. But yeah, no, the Kingsbury thing was surprising while keeping Quinn, like you said, that was kind of interesting. Definitely a little bit eyebrow raising. And from the front office perspective, the Giants keeping Joe Sheehan. I don't know. That's a weird one too. I felt like his time has run its course. You know, I know that he's hiring yet another head coach, but I don't know if I want him making that decision. You know, I don't know. That's kind of a weird one. But I did have a question, kind of an interesting question from an NFL perspective in general, because this popped up on a different podcast that I listened to, and I thought it was a really good question. Looking at all the head coaching openings, I think now with with one particular opening, I think it kind of becomes obvious. But Zach, I'll start with you, man. If you were a head coach candidate and you could just have your pick of teams that have openings, what would be your team of choice right now?
I feel like Baltimore is the easy answer.
Right. Yeah.
Like you got an MVP level quarterback. Like right. That's the easy answer.
Yeah.
I think the most fun team to be a head coach of, and the one that I would, as much as I hate this team from my childhood, the Giants.
Really?
Okay. I think that you've got a very promising rookie quarterback. You've got a stud of a running back. You've got pieces on defense that I think can be really good. I think that would be the most fun team to work with as far as like what you could do with them.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I think it is definitely more of the ball of clay type of thing. But I don't know. Yeah, I think it's hard to beat the Ravens. Like you said, that's probably the slam dunk answer. I'm really interested in the Raiders with what they do. Like, you know, they have that high draft pick. And they've got Max Crosby, who could be great, but could also just be a trade piece, and you get even more first-round picks. So I don't know. The Raiders kind of have that similar, like you kind of get to mold the ball of clay type of feeling too. I think both of those teams and the Giants, like you said, that's a good one as well. I don't know. That's a lot of really fascinating teams. The Falcons are a tough one because the Falcons, you're going to come in with a new front office executive too. Their quarterback situation is unsettled. And frankly, I thought Raheem Morris did a good enough job to where like maybe there's like some lingering kind of like, hey, you know, we kind of
too quick to fire.
Yeah, exactly. So the players might be a little bit apprehensive about bringing in a new guy, but I don't know. We'll see. Definitely the Ravens for me, slam dunk, easy choice. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Do you have a different perspective? Maybe
No, man. Ravens is behind the back, triple backflip, alley-oop, slam dunk. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
You know, I'd probably say actually I would find some way to, you know, find some solutions and, you know, become the head coach of, you know, obviously the Ravens are the obvious choice, but if I had to pick a second one, since we all are, I'll probably go Atlanta Falcons so I could give Todd Bowles a can of whoop ass myself.
Okay. It shouldn't be very hard with his lack of defense. So we right. should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, you could, you could do it. The Falcons have a pretty decent team, you know, like if they're starting Kirk or if they draft a different, I don't know why they would draft a different quarterback, but you know, that could be interesting. Yeah, I don't mind the Falcons for sure. They've got a lot of really talented players on the offensive side of the ball, and you know, like you said, you could maybe be the one that ends Todd Bowles' career as a head coach because you just beat him so bad. So that's
that's what my dreams are made of.
That's right. But moving on to the playoffs, because the playoffs, you know, talking about playoffs, they're coming up. I wanted to get y'all Super Bowl picks in before they start, because, you know, it starts quickly. And then, you know, before you know it, half the teams are eliminated. So, Mustafa Tariq, who you got winning the Super – who's your Super Bowl matchup and who you got winning?
Oh, man, this one's spicy. I would like I think this obviously is a reasonable or hopefully reasonable trend, but I'm thinking Seahawks and the Bills in the Super Bowl. I just think that would just be good. I feel like, you know, Josh Allen is in need of his Super Bowl. That's all he's really missing. And, I mean, Seahawks have just been on damn fire. And, you know, I'm always rooting for, you know, the journeymen or, you know, backup – or not backup guys. But guys like Sam Darnold who have, you know,
been through
some tough shit, you know, starting off with the New York Jets. So, anyways, yeah, I mean – no, but, I mean, they both got, you know, two good damn teams. But this one's going to be a fun one. I'm excited just because, you know, no Kansas City in the playoffs.
Yes, thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I think this is probably the most wide open that the NFL playoffs have been in a while. Like the Seahawks and the Bills, solid pick. But, like, I don't know. You know, like, could the Broncos or the Texans use their defensive might to sneak into the Super Bowl? Like, they both got excellent defenses, but their offenses are, like, huge question marks, especially Houston. I don't know. This is going to be a really, really good playoff system. I'd probably have it's tough to bet against Josh Allen. So I'm going to go Bills. I don't want to pick the Seahawks too, but I think I'm going to go Bills Seahawks too. That's a really good pick. I like both of those teams a lot. The Seahawks like have that perfect balance of like they've got a solid offense. And if Sam Darnold just like only manages to throw like one interception instead of like two or three, they win most of those games. You know, like if he can keep the turnovers down, I think they have a really, really good shot at making some real noise in the NFC. And then I probably got the Bills winning that one. I think they finally end it. Like you said, Josh Allen just needs that ring. And I think he gets it this year. I think it'll be a really fun playoff season, regardless of who wins or who shows up. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Who you got in the Super Bowl and who you got winning?
I'm going to be completely different here. I think we are going to see Liam Cohen there.
Really? Wow. I think they
got one of the best offenses in the NFL. I think they're coming along great. And then I'm going to – I just – it's hard for me to root against MVP Matthew Stafford out of the NFC.
okay.
As much as I don't want them to win it, I do think that they make it all the way there. But hear me out. It might not happen. I wouldn't be shocked if it didn't, but I've got Jacksonville winning the whole thing over the Rams.
Yeah. Wow. A Jaguars Super Bowl pick.
It's not a wild choice at all. Nah, man.
No.
They've been on a tear, man. And
for sure. My biggest struggle wasn't even picking them to make it in the AFC. The biggest struggle for me was picking between the Rams or the Patriots. Thanks, Hazel.
That's right.
Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl, Hazel? You think Jacksonville's going to win?
No.
Okay, she says no. So,
oh, wow. Well, if Hazel says it, then that's the truth. I'm afraid.
You're probably very confident, right. As well, if I may say. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid Hazel speaks it into existence there. The Jaguars fans will be disappointed. But no, I love that pick. I love that pick because that's a very real one, but I don't think that it's a one that maybe a lot of people are picking other than maybe Jaguars fans. But there's a very real possibility. Like you said, that offense is high octane. Obviously, we've spoken to death about Liam Cohen. He's got that offense humming. Trevor Lawrence is playing out of his mind. Like, I think – like Trevor Lawrence is a down ballot MVP guy for me, frankly, at this point. Like he's played.
Fully agree. And I think it's nice to see him play. It's almost like he's playing. This is the first year I've seen him play like he knows he's good.
Yeah. No,
I think that's always been kind of the issue is like he's played too reserved. And now that it's like kind of out, like he's balling. He's so good this year.
Yeah. I mean, that run game that they've got is cooking because Cohen just knows how to cook in the kitchen with that thing. And, yeah, when you've got a good run game, like it's really tough. You know, you can set up some really creative stuff, and they do just that. So it's been really fascinating to watch them go to work. But we mentioned some MVP stuff. We'll get to awards the next time. But before we log off, the last question that I had for y'all, because, you know, we want to try to end this on a positive note, a little bit of a more of an upbeat note. Who are y'all rooting for in the playoffs? This doesn't have to be the team that you picked. This doesn't have to be, you know, the Super Bowl matchup or anything. But Musab, I'll start with you, man. Who you got? Like, who are you watching in the playoffs and thinking, man, I hope they win? Who's your team this playoff year?
Oh man, I'd probably say cool with a lot of teams on the AFC, but I'm still gonna go Seahawks on this.
Really?
Just because I'd be happy. I mean, I think, you know, Bears Packers is gonna be a real good game too, but I'm rooting for a lot of these teams. I mean, a lot of these teams, first of all, if I may say, have had a complete 180, unlike the Buccaneers. Jaguars started off crappy. Bears started off crappy. Now look at them. You know what I'm saying? So it's just so beautiful to see. And I feel like it's anyone's game. I mean, you just got to play the best, you know, 48 minutes or, you know, 60 minutes of football. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's all about you. Just take it game by game. So, I'm going to be rooting for the Seahawks. But I'll give some love to our producers team, the Broncos.
There you go.
I think it'd be nice and all that, but I'm sorry, I just can't bet against, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills, so that's why I gotta go NFC. And if I'm
even
going
though
NFC,
they're the number one
Seahawks,
I feel you. I'm kind of the same. Josh Allen's a tough man bet against unless he's playing Patrick Mahomes, and there's no Patrick Mahomes here. So, but the Broncos are a great team that I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a good run as well. Like they're, you know, like I said, this playoff year is really wide open. And there's really not a team that I dislike in the playoffs this year. You know, like I know the 49ers and the Rams can be kind of annoying, like the West Coast teams, but even them, like, I don't necessarily dislike them too hard. They're probably my two least favorite teams, but I got to go with the Bears. I don't know why, but I really want to see them do well. I don't know why. I know that they've, like, in early to mid 2000s, them and the Bucks had a little bit of a, I don't want to say a rivalry, but, you know, they had some back and forth. But I know Caleb Williams is so much fun to watch, man. Like, he makes some insane throws on the run. Like, he's like Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Like, Ben Johnson seems like all these offensive coordinators and the offensive gurus kind of seems like strange fellas, like guys that I probably wouldn't want to hang out with, like in a bar or whatever, but like, God, by golly, they know how to make football look really fun. So him and Caleb have been absolutely cooking it up. Like, I watched that Bears 49ers Sunday night football game a few weeks ago, unfortunately lost one of my fantasy leagues because of it, but it was a great game. And Caleb Williams is a big reason because of it. So yeah, I'm rooting for the Bears so far, but Zach, I saw you shake your head. So I'm guessing the Bears are not your team, but
I don't like Caleb Williams. Not liked him since the draft. No, I am rooting, you know, got to stay Florida strong, right? Rooting on the Jaguars, but also love Josh Allen. I love James Cook. So I'm rooting for the Bills as well. I think that Josh Allen gets a Super Bowl that kind of, in my opinion, cements him in future Hall of Fame talks, because, like, I do think he's that much of a game-changing player. So I got to root for both Jacksonville and Buffalo. I just don't want the NFC to really win it, if I'm being completely honest with you.
All right. Well, I
feel like it would hurt me if the Jags won it with Liam Cohen. You know, it's kind of just
it would be another.
Well, I guess maybe that's what we need to fire Bowles. Once Liam Cohen wins it all, you know, someone can really just go to the
Blazers. You know, I would be so happy for either one of our offensive coordinators to win the Super Bowl and just go, I'm not going to do it on camera, but no, flip the bird.
Oh, yeah, man. Blazers. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, that'd be interesting, man. That'd be really fascinating. But we'll see. We'll see if any of our favorite teams in the playoffs make it far, or if our producer's favorite team, the Denver Broncos, makes it far. But regardless, was that?
I said Denver's going to be one and done.
Ooh, wow. Bold take from Mr. Zach Blaine. We'll see. It's certainly a possibility. But, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised by anything that happens this playoffs, honestly. Like, there's so many, like, a wide variety of things that could happen.
This is the first year in the playoffs where I genuinely think it's a wide open race.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, we made, like, predictions, but
the Panthers and the Steelers and maybe the Bears are the only teams where I'm like,
I was gonna say, yeah, Panthers and Steelers. Yeah, I'm counting out everyone else. Panthers, fair game.
But other than that, even the Bears, I could maybe see, you know, if you squint a little bit, they could maybe win it all. Same with the Packers.
I mean, they could make a run. I don't possibly see the Bears making even the Super Bowl, but I could see them making a run. The Packers, if they're healthy, but that's the
thing. They already lost Parsons. Like, I don't know. It's tough.
I believe I'm hearing rumors that Malik Willis might not even be active for this game, and I don't know if George Love is as well.
Right. Yeah. So that's what makes it tough.
But outside of, like, the four wild card teams, really, well,
I guess technically the Panthers and the Steelers aren't wild card teams. Yeah, but might as well.
The ones that are playing in the wild card games, I should say.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
I think those are the only four, and I'm taking the Texans out of that because I think they're really good. The Texans are playing the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken. Those are kind of the teams where I'm like, they might not have a chance, but I genuinely, outside of that, I'm like, everyone else, we could have a Super Bowl winner that we didn't expect this year, and I think it's kind of sick to think about.
100%. I totally agree. It's super fun. Really not a better time to be an NFL fan. Maybe not a Bucks fan, but regardless, we'll be talking about the NFL because, you know, the playoffs are going on, even though the Bucks aren't in it. And we'll keep talking about the Bucks a little bit, but we'll try to sprinkle in a little bit of NFL too, because there's only so much fire Todd Bowles talk that you can take before it gets to be a little bit nauseating, you know.
I could go on and on and on about it.
Well, you know, if you want to hear, you should follow Zach Blaine on Twitter. Then he can
check out his special late night podcast, ZB Hates TB.
And not Tampa Bay, it's just Todd Bowles. But
just Todd Bowles.
Yeah, that's right. But regardless, we will be back next week. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hit that like or subscribe button if you liked what you heard. Definitely, you know, give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. We'll be posting content across our channel, and it's all great, all worth checking out for sure. But until next week, and until then, and as always, Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.